The original study was ridiculed by most authorities on radium, Martland remembered later. I have been under constant attack for my efforts to protect the public and to secure some compensation for disabled, death-facing girls. Manufacturers of radium have been particularly active and insulting in their efforts to discredit me. It was with good reason, as far as the radium companies were concerned. A letter from the Radium Ore Revigator Company told the doctor that his article had automatically reduced our sales to less than half our previous quarter. Yet it wasn't just those with a financial stake in the beneficence of radium who had their doubts. Even the American Medical Association, which in 1914 had formally included radium on its list of new and non-official remedies, was sceptical. It all made the girls' claims look increasingly suspicious to the lawyers they contacted for help. This public reception to Martland's work could not have pleased USRC more. Soon they would be fighting back with medical studies of their own. Vice President Barker wrote in a memo with almost undisguised glee, "Our friend Martland is still maintaining that we are killing the dial painters off by the dozen. His article is some of their propaganda. Yet I understand Flynn's report is to be published soon. His findings have been entirely negative, and I think his report represents a very good piece of work." He added, "I am rather inclined to think that he will be given a certain amount of money to continue his work." Flynn was just the ticket, as far as the company was concerned. USRC, no doubt, would have been aghast to learn what Flynn had written to their former investigator, Dr. Drinker. "Though I am not saying it out loud," Flynn wrote, "I cannot but feel that the paint is to blame for the girls' conditions." But while the scientists publicly fought over the cause of the girls' disease, there was one woman who was in its clutches, still fighting for all she was worth. Marguerite Carlo had been half dead for weeks. In Hoffman's opinion, hers was the most tragic case on record. With her immune system dangerously weakened, she contracted pneumonia on top of everything else. But she managed to make it home for Christmas, to spend it with her niece and mom and dad. It was 2 years since that Christmas Eve, when she'd had her tooth pulled and all this trouble had begun. It was 6 months since her sister Sarah had passed away. In the early hours of Boxing Day, 1925, at the age of 24, Marguerite followed her sister to that undiscovered country. She died at home on Main Street at 3 a.m. Her bones, Martland later said, showed beautiful concentrations on the X-ray films that he wrapped around her in death. 2 days later, for the second time in 6 months, her parents laid to rest a daughter in the peaceful quiet of the Laurel Grove Cemetery. Yet Marguerite had not died quietly. As the first dial painter to file suit, the first to show it was even possible to fight back against the corporation that killed her, she went out with a roar. It was a sound that would echo long afterwards. Long after she died, long after she was buried, long after her parents made their slow way home from her funeral and closed their door against the world. End of CD 5.